This is Dr. Yo. Welcome to Respecting the Future. Your host is Levin Chuck Wilson, better known as Chuck. He's committed his body of work to serving individuals, families, and communities. As a social worker, he's taken the oath to be a change agent. This is the episode in the series of Planning to Succeed. It's all about defining your strategic plan and how to move from one position to another, moving the needles and mountains in your life. So let's talk to Chuck.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.
So, Chuck, before we move forward with planning to succeed, I think it's so important for our listeners to get that 1, 2, 3 wrap-up of self-talk. Help us out there.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Yo. For the listening audience, I'm so glad to be back with you for this next season. And to go into this next season, I want to bring closure to our last series when we were talking about self-talk. Number one, make sure you have a plan for your life. Number two, don't be a PBS, pig, bitch, or slave. Number three, don't be the savior, because when you're the savior, you become the victim. And when you become the victim, you become persecutor or persecuted.
It's amazing how many emails that we've received on the PBS. So I'm sure you're going to take us through that again, right?
Yes. And you know, that PBS is so important, because we all are faced with a PBS moment, whether you're a pig, bitch, or slave, or powerful, bold, or strong. And we all want to be powerful, bold, and strong. But we have to fact check ourselves. In order to be powerful, bold, or strong, you have to look at every situation in your life, whether it's relationships, whether it's your finances, whether it's in your work, whatever it is you're doing, say, hey, am I being a PBS? And if so, which PBS am I?
Well, with that then, how do we define between thoughts and feelings, or are they the same?
They're not the same, and I want to tell a story, and I think our listener audience will get a definition from this story. A few years ago, I was working with a client who was court ordered to do anger management with me. He had been married for about 8 years. He and his wife had 3 children, a 2-month-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And so the wife worked home. She took care of the children. And he worked a job. He was a day laborer and made pretty good money. And he had a couple expectations from his wife whenever he came home every day, and that was to have a cold beer and food ready and the house clean. So this particular day, he came home and no food, no beer. He and his wife got into an altercation, verbal altercation. He hit her for the first time in 8 years. Well, that sparked a firestorm in this relationship. She called the police. You know what happens after that. He gets arrested, has to go to court, court order for anger management, so on and so forth. Well, make a long story short, he ended up seeing me for about 12 weeks. The first few weeks, he was just angry because, one, he has to do anger management, and he has to pay for it. And he's thinking, wow, you know, my wife doesn't have to work. All she has to do is have my food and a cold beer and keep my house clean. This is his argument every week to me. So finally, after a few weeks, it started to shift because he started losing things. She filed for a divorce. He had to get an apartment. He couldn't work overtime because he had to see me. And so then he started thinking, wow, you know, I could have did a few things differently. So the reason why he slapped her, what he said, the reason why he slapped her was because he felt disrespected. He felt that he was not being treated like the man that took care of the house. He felt like she didn't honor him. So these are the feeling type things that he talked about. He was frustrated because he's working every day and all she had to do was do this, do that, and the other. Well, by halfway through our sessions, he started thinking about it versus feelings. Now, his thoughts started being, well, you know what? My wife wouldn't have filed for divorce. I wouldn't have went to jail. I wouldn't be in this situation if I had just picked up my own beer and my own food. If he had been thinking his wife had several jobs, he was looking at her as not having a job, when in fact, she took care of child number one, child number two, child number three. Then she took care of the house. Then she took care of his needs. Then she had to take care of her own needs. We had about 6-7 jobs already. But it took me about 6-7 weeks to get him to understand that she had just more jobs and doing more than he could possibly do. But he didn't think about that. He was only feeling that disrespect because he feel like, hey, I'm working every day. I'm doing overtime to keep the lights on, keep the mortgage paid, keep you riding good, keep you looking good, that type of thing. And so his frustrations caused him to have a consequence of being incarcerated, anger management, and divorce. Make a long story short, she did leave him. He lost his family. He ultimately lost his job of 19 years, all because he allowed his feelings to drive his thoughts, which created an event, another event. Those events were what? Loss of job, loss of family. If he had been thinking first, if he had been thinking and allowed his thoughts to drive his feelings, the outcomes would have been different. So basically, this conversation is about how, what do we do? We all have events. Right now is an event. Now, you can be thinking, okay, Chuck, this, that, and the other. Or you can be feeling Chuck, this, and the other. So when in life, whenever we are faced with things, and we all are every day, when we are faced with moments that we can't control, moments that are out of our grasp, moments that we can't fix, we should allow our thoughts to drive our feelings versus our feelings to drive our thoughts. When your thoughts drive your feelings, your outcomes are usually better.
Well, on a note like that, we got an email about a relationship. And help us along then to make sure that we have the right designation between thoughts and feelings when it comes to relationships.
Well, when you say relationship, can you say more about the email? Tell me what the situation is.
This person just met this gentleman. First of all, she'd been by herself for quite a number of years. So she's embarking on a new relationship. And she's all, you know, you get the butterflies and you're all excited. Are those feelings? Are those thoughts? Should she step back and think forward as far as, you know, where is this going to go?
Well, we're human. So we're going to have those thoughts and feelings simultaneously at certain times. I am of the opinion, it's my opinion, that men are creatures of sensation and women are creatures of emotion. So those thoughts and feelings may come and go at different times and through various vehicles and situations. From what you're telling me, she's met a new guy and she has these butterflies, and should she be thinking about, you know, why should she deal with this guy or not? There's nothing wrong with having butterflies. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about meeting someone. There's nothing good about being happy to see your mate or your potential mate to come visit you, take you to dinner. Those things should happen. I mean, what's the purpose of having a relationship if you're not going to have those feelings? But you do need to think, okay, who is this person? Do we have the same belief systems? Does he really care about things that I care about? Are we on the same page spiritually? Are we on the same page financially? Do we have the same career paths? Or does he want to reach this goal? Do I want to reach that goal? Am I concerned about politics? Are you concerned about social aspects of things? So those are thoughts. Those are things that massage the relationship. Those are the things that keep the relationship going. Eventually, you know, you'll get, I mean, you know, this, you got the six pack, the two pack, and all that kind of stuff. You know, you want that, and it's good to see, and it's good to see a nice smile. It's good. But that's not what's going to sustain the relationship. The feelings don't sustain it altogether. You have to be thinking. And then the thoughts are reflective of what's real.
unless you are an individual who's at a stage in your life where the feelings are okay, you are in control of your life. So if you meet somebody, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, it does matter. If you're just feeling, if you're just going on feelings, well, you're going to be, that relationship is going to be a up and down relationship all the time. Just imagine, we go through things every day. They have nothing to do with our relationship. You could be at work and have a bad day at work and just feeling bad, feeling down and out, disgusted and busted, used and abused. And then you get home and your spouse or your mate or whatever, your boo, is looking at you differently, but you having that same emotion that you brought home from work. Well, you need to think about it. Well, she might have a headache. She might have just cut her finger. Maybe something happened with her job. So you have to think versus just dealing with feelings in a relationship. You have to think. You have to really process versus just going off the feelings. Feelings are always going to be there. I'm just saying and suggesting that allow your thoughts to drive your feelings. I'm not saying take them away, but the thoughts must drive the feelings versus feelings driving the thinking.
Help us out then. When you go into the office, how do you limit your feelings if you've had a bad day to now you're in work, a work mode? How do you switch it off and on?
Well, I think, first of all, when you go into work, you know, what's your mission? You know, what's your mission at work? What are you there for? You are being paid to do a job. So, you know, check your stuff at work. Like, you know, with my team, and we're in the community a lot. We're constantly engaging with all types of people. And so we have to check our stuff. Leave your stuff at home. Leave it in the car. Leave it in the garage. Leave it on the back porch. Leave it somewhere because it's going to impact your work, which impacts your message. So at work, your livelihood depends on the mission of of your career or the mission of your job. So that's, again, that's a thinking process, not a feeling process.
So how about when you meet someone and they have just a sour face all the time? They're not approachable. How do you handle that?
Why do you have to deal with them? They got a sour face all the time. Why would you deal with that person all the time? If every time you see, Dr. Yo, every time you see a person and they got a sour face, why are you with them all the time?
Because sometimes you feel like you can change their attitude, change their mood,
again,
change how they're feeling.
Exactly. You just said it. You said, I feel like.
Okay.
If you think about it, you just said, this person has a sour face every time I see them.
Right.
Then you turn around and say, I feel like I can change. No, hell no. You need to say, let me think about this. This person has a sour face every time I see them. They always are negative. They always have something bad to say. I can never get anything from this conversation. I feel bad every time I leave this person. If you think that way, you'll say, you know what? I don't need to deal with that person. Why would you deal with that person?
Because sometimes you want to be able to change their...
Why? Are you being
the same
now?
Now
you're going back to the last season. Now you're trying to save a situation. Why is that? What are you getting out of it?
Because you don't want to be a part of the Debbie Downer, as they say, or you don't want to just walk away from them. Sometimes that person may just need you to smile at them or say hello.
But again, we're talking about, you asked me a question. You said every time. What do we do about a situation where every time you meet a person or see a person, they always have a sour face? They always have a negative disposition.
Right.
You say it every time.
Every time.
Right. So that is not that person who has the issue. It's you that have the issue.
It's I don't have the issue.
Evidently, because if you're around a person that has a sour face all the time, something negative, a negative disposition, and you keep coming back to it, and you know they're going to have a sour face, you know they're going to have a negative disposition, hell, it's not them, it's you.
So what do? Walk away?
You should walk away.
So then are you saying for me to just be me?
No, what I'm saying to you, Dr. Yo, and listening audience, is whenever you have an event in your life, whatever that event is, force yourself or put yourself in a situation where your thoughts drive your feelings. And those feelings then create another action that creates another event, the event that you want. And like our last conversation, you were talking about every time this person has a sour face, every time. Well, if you control your thinking, if you really think about it and get away from the feelings of trying to save a situation, change a person, if you get away from that and start thinking about what is really real, what am I getting out of this, what are the benefits of this, then you will make a right decision. Your events will change. You'll be like, you know what, let me go meet somebody that has something nice to say, somebody that's encouraging, somebody that makes me feel uplifted when I leave them and when I meet them, when right. I see them.
Right. And I know we're going to talk more about other events in our lives as we move forward in planning to succeed. Glad you joined in on our conversation. For more Let's Talk to Chuck episodes, sign up and follow us on Podomatic, iTunes, and Player FM. You can also reach out to Chuck via email at leventwo, that's L-E-V-E-N, the number two, at me.com. We hope that this episode will help you to make the choice decisions that respects your future. Remember to tune in to our next conversation with Chuck. We want to say thank you to our engineer, Sam Walton. Until then, it's all about moving the needles and mountains in your life.
Maybe you think that the message has changed, then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again, then you ought to hear this.